All right. Thank you, Charlie. I appreciate that. And I will get into that. What I'd like to do is to spend the next few minutes or so chatting about my experience as a judge dealing with the student loan issue. And as some of you who know me or knew me as a practicing lawyer know that I practice primarily in the Chapter 11 forum, and I never really encountered or frankly thought much about student loan discharge issues. So it wasn't until after I was appointed to the bench that I began focusing and studying consumer bankruptcy law issues, including, of course, the dischargeability of student loans. Now, I have to admit, when I first read the statute, specifically the phrase in Section 523A8 that provides that the student loan debt could not be discharged unless it would impose an undue hardship on the debtor and debtor's dependents, I thought, okay, the debtor has a bit of a burden here. Then I read the Bruner case, and I thought, okay, well, it appears the courts have come up with this three-part test to determine undue hardship. And we all know that the prongs are minimal standards of living prong, the good faith efforts to repay prong, and then, of course, the real tough test, the additional circumstances prong that requires the debtor's state of affairs to persist during the repayment period for the loans. Well, after I read Bruner, I then read Gerhardt, and I thought, wow, now the debtor must show total incapacity to repay the debt now and in the future. So the phrase Congress used of undue hardship has really morphed into a pretty stiff burden, but that's where we are here in the Fifth Circuit. And that probably explains that why my 5+ years on the bench, I have had one student loan discharge case. Now, let me put that into a bit of perspective for everybody. I get approximately 100 new Chapter 7 filings each month. So rough math, I have had approximately 6,000 Chapter 7 cases filed in my court while I've been on the bench. And I've had one contested student loan discharge case. When you think about it, that's pretty stunning. Full disclosure, as a judge, I did mediate one student loan discharge case that was pending before Judge Hale. That mediation resulted in a settlement with a significant reduction of the student loan debt that was ultimately accepted from discharge. Now, in that case, the debtor was acting pro se, not a surprise, but the debtor did have a law degree, although he was not a practicing lawyer. Of course, I do realize that anytime you file litigation, it takes time, and it costs money, of which most Chapter 7 debtors just don't have. Now, Charlie did a really nice summary of what Trejo case was, and I don't really intend to go much more into it. You can find it on Westlaw, and of course, it is in the materials. And although Charlie did spoil the ending, I'm going to spoil it too, if you haven't read it. In my case, Ms. Trejo's government-backed student loan debts were discharged in full. And as Charlie said, she was in her mid-40s. She was not in a coma. She was personally not totally debilitated or in any physical or mental sense. Now, she didn't graduate from high school. That was an important factor, I thought. Years later, she had obtained her GED. She did have three children, but she was never married. There was never any other wage earner in her household. And as the opinion notes, the two younger daughters did have some very significant physical and mental challenges. There was obesity, and there was also threats of suicide, things of that nature. So there was clearly issues that Ms. Trejo was very concerned about her daughters, which is why she felt she needed to be with them pretty much 24/7, including things like taking the doors off their bedroom doors. So from the point of the debtor's dependence, she had a very compelling story. But as Charlie noted, the evidence established, it was uncontroverted by the government, was that their conditions would persist. Ms. Trejo's position was, I will probably be the only caretaker they have, given their conditions. And therefore, I was able to find that she had satisfied all three prongs in the in the case. Now, a bit of a backstory. I concluded the trial itself just a few weeks after Judge Hale had decided the Thomas case in his court. And I had heard that Judge Hale's Thomas case was going to be appealed to the Fifth Circuit. So I abated my case. I thought, good, this is the Fifth Circuit. It's going to give me a little more guidance. And after reading Judge Hale's findings of fact and conclusions of law, it appeared to me that Ms. Thomas's circumstances were just as difficult and perhaps even more difficult than Ms. Trejo's circumstances were in my case. So I abated ruling in Trejo pending the Fifth Circuit ruling in Thomas. And when I read Judge Hale's final thoughts section in his ruling, I thought there was a real decent chance that the Fifth Circuit may either soften a bit or better explain what has become an apparent, incredibly high burden to establish total incapacity as required by the Fifth Circuit in Gerhart. Well, we now have Thomas in the books, and it appears that the Fifth Circuit did not relax its view, and I was put to the test. I then had to go through and analyze the facts in my case to determine if Ms. Trejo had satisfied her burden. So